Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call of Grendene to release and update information on the financial results of Q4 2017. The conference will be held in Portuguese only, with simultaneous interpretation into English. All participants are connected in the listen-only mode during the company presentation, but later we will conduct a Q&A session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. Should you require any assistance during the call, please ask the help of the operator by pressing star zero. This audio conference is being recorded and will be made available at the website http://ri.grendene.com.br. With us today are the main Grendene executives, who will also be available to take your questions later. Rudimar Dall'Ender, CEO, Gelson Luis Rostirolla, Vice President, and Francisco Schmidt, Finance and Investor Relations Director, as well as the key managers of the company, are here. The press release of Q4 2017 and the management report can be found at our website, ri.grendene.com.br, in English and Portuguese. Before proceeding, let me clarify that any forward-looking statements made during this teleconference regarding business perspectives or operating perspectives of the company are based on the management's expectations for the future of the company. These forward-looking statements are highly dependent on market conditions, the overall economic situation in the country, the industry, and international markets. I would like now to turn the conference over to Mr. Schmidt, Finance and Investor Relations Director. Mr. Schmidt, you may proceed.
Good morning. It is a pleasure to welcome all of you to another audio conference of Grendene to release our financial results and comment on them. As usual, we have added an additional file named Audio Conference Presentation to the website to make it easier for you to follow up this meeting. There is a summary of the main figures presented in that presentation. Before we move into the discussion regarding our performance, I would like to draw your attention to dividend distribution. According to the current dividend policy established on February 13, 2014, also communicated as a material fact on the same date and maintained for the year of 2018, and based on the amount reported in our financial statements, as you can see on slide 20 of this presentation, the management has proposed to distribute the results regarding 2017 as follows: R$96,719,155.51 as a minimum mandatory dividend corresponding to 25% of the dividend base, and R$281,053,987.83 as an additional dividend added to the minimum that is mandatory. The total amount is R$377,773,143.34, deducted by the quarterly advances that have been made as a gross amount of R$228,143,143.34, both paid as dividends and interest on equity, total R$130 million. That the company is going to pay at referendum once the accounts are approved, and this will be paid as of May 16, 2018, as follows. R$130 million will be paid as interest on equity, gross amount, deducted by the dividends, and the net value deducted in terms of taxes, R$110,500,000. And there is a complementary dividend of R$19,630,000. those who will receive interest on equity and supplementary dividends, those shareholders of common shares that are enrolled in the company records on May 3rd, 2018, which is the cutoff date. As of this date, the interest on equity credits will be made individually to shareholders with the corresponding withhold taxes according to the legislation. Therefore, Grandin shareholders will be negotiated ex dividend and ex interest on equity as of May 4, 2008 in B3 Brazilian SST market. I would also like to comment on the proposal split of shareholders. The board of directors, in its meeting held yesterday, February 22nd, has approved the inclusion of this item to the proposal that is going to be sent to be approved in the assembly. This assembly will be held on April 23rd. So the proposal includes the split of the company shareholders in the 3-to-1 ratio. Therefore, if the extraordinary general assembly approves the total number of shareholders of the company, it will be then 902,160,000 shares. Today, we have 300,720,000 shares. This split will be made without any changes to the capital stock. Now, let us move to the comments regarding performance. Grandin's gains in 2017, as released before, was of 661 million reais, which represents a return on equity compared to the beginning of the year of 23.7%, of which the company has proposed as a distribution of dividends and return on equity the amount of 378 million, which is 75% higher than the one stated in the previous year. This represents a payout of 55.2%, and reinvesting the remainder, 283 million reais, which will be reinvested in the company. Therefore, the equity value of our shares has increased by 10% in the year, from 9.72 to 10.7, and the dividend yield was of 4.7%. On Q4 2017, we have maintained a growth in net income regarding 2016 by 1.4%, moving from 247 million on Q4 2016 to 250 million in this quarter, in the fourth quarter of 2017. Maintaining the growth in accumulated amount of 4.2 in comparison to 2016. In 2017, we have built good results by increasing profits, expanding our margins, and keeping the return of our investments and paying dividends to the shareholders. And we did all that without failing to invest in our brands and industrial operations and renewed our product portfolio and reinforce the relationship we have with our customers through the distribution channels. In other words, we maintained and strengthened our position to the future. Also, as mentioned in the report, we have made investments in our factories. We have invested in automation, robots, IoT, Internet of Things, so that we can improve our productivity, punctuality in our delivery, and to improve cost controls. The total investments, including maintenance of our productive capacities, is 107 million. With the net profit in 2007, Grandin has achieved 29.9%, 1.7% less than the net margin achieved in 2016. We'd like to highlight that the drop in the financial results worth 30 million and increasing taxes of 31 million have prevented us from achieving higher growth in net income. This drop in financial results is due mainly to a drop in interest rates in the Brazilian market and increase in taxes at the end of the PRO-APP program, which is partially offset by an increase in the Reintegra value-added tax deduction for exports program. Despite that, EBIT has grown by 16.5% in 2017, with a gross margin of 48.9%, reaching yet another record in our company. Generation of operating cash in 2017 was of 525 million reais, which has allowed us to increase our net cash flow to 1.7 billion reais, although we had increased the payment of dividends as mentioned before. These results were obtained with a market share increase, both domestically and also due to Brazilian exports of shoewear. The growth in volume of shoe pairs sold in domestic market was of 2.2% and abroad 12.5%, strongly leveraged by an increase in exports of 42% in the Q4 2017. In terms of building brands, we have advanced with the project Clube Melissa, even going beyond our initial expectations in 2012. We have started franchises and we expected to reach 200 stores in 2017. However, at the end of 2017, we had 263 franchise stores, which is an increase of 22 stores compared to 2016, when there was low growth in the retail market. So, based on this success, we also launched a mini Club Melissa, and according to our expectations, this will leverage the growth of the project in 2018. We have also strengthened traditional brands, Rider, Cartago, Ipanema, Zaxi, Grand, and Grandine Kids, with countless marketing and communication efforts. Among the marketing initiatives that have granted us good results, we'd like to highlight some of the actions that were conducted for the Rider brand, which reinforced its connection with sports in a collaboration with NBA, the North American Basketball Association. In the Zaxi brand, we also aligned ourselves to the behavior of our target audience. For the first year, the brand communication was fully digital, and we have reached 1 million fans on Facebook. Also, in the child segment with Grandin Kids, we have made several accomplishments. We were awarded as licensee of the year by Nickelodeon. We have signed a global contract with Mattel and a global contract with Warner. According to our assessment, we have progressed significantly in our strategy of product differentiation by marketing, design, and innovation. Let me remind you that the Melissa brand has also kept its strategy based on three pillars, fashion, art, and design, in addition to partnerships with fashion icons like Comme des Garçons, Hayden Dunham, the Kravitz Satchel Company, Vivienne Westwood, Jeremy Scott, Vittorino Campos, Cartel 11, Fabulous CSC, Jason Wood, among others. These and other efforts have assured the growth of Melissa brand in this main market, as well as its representativeness in Grandin business, and also its recognition based on the awards we got in the market. In 2018, we have built a 10-year guidance for the market that ends in 2018. Now that we have had 9 years of this 10-year target plan, the CAGR growth in gross revenue was of 6.3% a year, and the CAGR growth in net income was 11.9% a year. The EBIT growth was of 12.2%, and the growth in dividends, and both of them were not included in the initial guidance, was a 14.8%. During this period, we have maintained the return on equity at the level of 23.2% a year in average. in our opinion, the operating execution of the company to reach the expectations. That was very good. And although the growth was slightly under the amount we expected initially, we consider those results to be very good, given that this target was a long-term market. This target was a long-term target of 10 years, and also considering the economic turbulences the country has faced during this period. Nevertheless, considering that we also are always very transparent in our communication with the market, as of 2015, we began to inform that there was an increased risk of failing to achieve our target because of the deteriorated economic conditions that we expected at that point.
To reach our 10-year goals, the gross revenue in 2018 should be between $3.4 billion and $4.9 billion. In slide number 24 of this presentation, you can see a projection both for net profits and revenues, and then try to understand what I'm saying here now. The net profit, according to the same projection, should be between $743 million and $968 million, with growth of 24.7% and 12.4%, just to equalize the minimum of the respective value ranges, which will probably not take place. For the revenue to grow according to this percentage, the market conditions should be far better than those we expect to face this year. We expect to have some recovery in the market, as I mentioned before, of about 3 and 5% for consumption in Brazil, but we are not going to go back to the levels of 2013 this year, which therefore makes it difficult for the company to obtain in 2018 a gross revenue according to the range established in 2008 as a 10-year target. On the other hand, with low interest rates, which decreases the financial results and possibly leads to higher taxes, we will definitely have a growth in our net income, and it's not going to be enough to compensate a decrease in the domestic market, leading to a net profit of 12.4, as would be required so that we could be within the range. So these are possible figures, but they are not likely. Throughout this period, we had years with low interest rates, but a strong growth in the consumption of the country. We have also had recession, but the interest rates were high, and this did not take place in 2017, and we do not believe it's going to take place in 2018. For this year, we expect to have a modest recovery in consumption, and the interest rates are going to be relatively low. According to this scenario, we're going to have a minor growth or even a decrease in our financial results. We will definitely have a growth in net profit above two digits. As I mentioned before, this is possible but not likely. In addition, we anticipate to have an increase in our operating expenses, which may reach 1% of the current expansions in addition to our normal growth so that we can adapt the company to the new market rules and also the Brazilian Corporate Governance Code, which were in force at the end of last year and this year, respectively. Even though this expense will not necessarily take place in 2018. And so these are the comments and highlights I wanted to share with you about our results. And we're now going to move on to our Q&A session. This time I'm going to start by answering a question that was forwarded to us by one of our physical person shareholders. And at the time, we're not able to answer the question because we're closing our report. And therefore, I'm going to ask the first question myself. I'm going to read the question without mentioning the name, of course. And then you will be able to ask further questions. So I received the following email. Love, I'm a shareholder. I'm also a product consumer. I really appreciate your administration. Lately, I was in contact with some of the stores in the region of Campinas, São Paulo, and I obtained very positive information regarding the period, the Christmas period, actually. However, I was very concerned about other information. I was informed that there was a loss of sales because there was not enough product in stock. And therefore, I would like you to share more information if possible. And what could be the cause? Is it a lack of planning of the franchise? Is it a lack of production in the plants to supply the demand? I think that this question would be useful for you to evaluate if this was a general problem and also map further actions so that we can avoid this in the future. Thank you for your attention. And so it's important to highlight here that Grandene does not produce for stock. We manufacture according to orders, and therefore the orders are made by the store owners. And this is true not only for franchises, but for any client. But in the case of Melissa, franchises. So we provide support. We have meetings to show our perspectives, our products, and sales expectations. However, the final purchase decision is the client's decision. And so whenever we have any products lacking, it's because the demand was not well planned or well calculated. On the other hand, we know, according to our experience for many years in this sector, that very hardly we will know exactly what's going to happen, and therefore we often have situations where we have products lacking, or we have a production that is above the need. So we would rather have products lacking in stock because that values our product and our brand. This is a problem we have to learn how to live with, which is we don't always have a perfect match between the demand and the supply and what the stores buy and have in stock. But on the other hand, if we have any products left, somebody will have to pay for the cost. And that also deteriorates the value chain. So this is the explanation. And of course, we always try to get as close as possible to the demand, but we can't always make it right. Now I open for further questions so that I can clarify any concerns you may have. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to start our Q&A session for investors and analysts. If you have any questions, please press star 1. If you want to withdraw your question from the list, please press pound key. We kindly ask you not to use the speaker mode while asking the questions to ensure optimum sound quality. Please stand by as we collect the questions. Our first question is from Wagner Salaveri, Quantitas. Good morning, Smith. Congratulations for the results, the control of expenses, growth in sales. I really would like to congratulate you, and even in terms of profits, if we take into account the financial results, which was not in the company because of the payout options, I think that you would have obtained it. But my question, as you mentioned, has to do with the estimates of 2012. The stores are now, we have 260. I would like to understand, looking into the future for 2018, what is the size and relevance of the operation for you, and whether this sales channel will provide better results. I would like you to evaluate the relative effects and also what you mentioned about Melissa's representativeness. I would like you to give us an idea of how you see it for the company as a whole in the domestic and foreign market. Thank you very much. Well, thank you for your question. So we're now going to talk a little bit about Melissa first. So Melissa is our top line, and it is the one that provides more profit. Its representation has grown. But there's no differentiation in terms of profitability because of the channel. However, what we can see in the success of this initiative is probably because this is a more efficient channel and leverage sales in a more interesting way. And this has led Melissa to increase its share in Grendene as a whole. From the very beginning, we established estimates, and we believed that this potential has been overcome and has demonstrated that it will keep on growing. But we always say the following: we do not have a number of stores or growth or how many stores we're going to have this year. We do not work like that. For us, the most important thing is finding the right person, the right franchisee, and where Melissa is being efficient according to our evaluation. We do not want to have operations that will hinder our competitors or our neighbor operations. And therefore, we lead with this on a case-by-case basis, depending on the location or on whether the franchisee has what we consider to be essential for the operations. This initiative was very successful and has been very successful, so much so that we have now launched the mini club Melissa. But we are not going to define what our expectation is in terms of the number of stores, so that this operation is also as successful as the other one. Melissa, in terms of positioning in Grendene, has a better price ticket, and now the current price ranges between $120, $130 in a sellout. This is the lowest volume in pairs, according to Grendene's sales, but our target audience somehow, or target public, if we think of income, it's similar to Arezzo's. But if we are to consider it according to age groups, Melissa does not compete with Arezzo, so please do not take me wrong. But in the end, the number of pairs is similar. Melissa has about 8-10 million pairs per year. According to last year's production, where we had 60 million pairs. But in terms of income, it's going to represent a higher percentage. And we're probably reaching about 20 to 25% of Grendene's income with a higher share in the operational results. As you know, we do not disseminate it by brand, but just to give you an idea, I think that these numbers make sense. Well, I'd like to know if you think of, if you're considering having the same channel for other brands. Is this a possibility? Have you been discussing this? So you mean a franchise for Ipanema? Well, right now, we're not taking it into account. But of course, we always evaluate the market. We consider our possibilities. And this is a matter of meeting the needs of our end clients. We do not specialize in this kind of market. And when we launched the Melissa franchise, we informed the market that our objective was not to take part of the margin or to have royalties from the franchises or to have that kind of return. And this is not how it works, according to our opinion, and this is not what we do for this kind of sales ticket.
Since Ipanema has a much wider distribution, at least in the long run, we don't believe it makes sense to establish a similar distribution system or situation for Ipanema. When we launched Melissa, at that time, the retail market was growing very quickly. New shopping malls were open all the time, and the typical Melissa distributor would take some years to invest in a shopping mall or would not invest as much or as quickly. This is why Melissa was not present in some markets we believed it should be. This is why we launched the Melissa franchise, because we wanted to ensure presence. But that is not taking place with Ipanema. If it happens at some point, Grandina has the resources and the appetite to make sure that Ipanema reaches the end customer. But today, we do not see this as necessary. Thank you very much, and congratulations once again. Our next question is from Leonardo Abuti, Set Investment. Good morning, everyone, and congratulations for your results. I have two questions. First, regarding exports. The volume was very high in Q4. What happened that explains this expansion? Were there any advances on the sales to be made in this first quarter of 2018? And the second question has to do with tax benefits. When can you renew those tax benefits? Let me start by talking about the tax benefits. Tax incentives. PROUP, which is a tax incentive program that ended in March 2017, was a tax incentive program from the state of Ceará to increase exports. There was a law in place that established this tax incentive. Based on this law, companies could develop projects and apply to this tax incentive benefit, but this law ended the program, so you cannot apply for it unless the legislators and the executive branch in the state of Ceará decide to enact another law. Otherwise, we cannot apply for this tax incentive. So in the short term, we do not see any chance of reverting the scenario. And maybe it would never be. Maybe the state government will not create any other tax incentive program for exports. Of course, we need to follow up the unfoldings in the state. If maybe the state realizes that this has reduced the operations, then it may change its mind. But These are some of the considerations that state governments made to create incentives like that. But at this point, there is no expectations for that. There are no expectations for that. As to exports, in 2016 and 2017, export levels were not very good. They were hindered. In 2016, we have reached the lowest number of pair of shoes exported, of 40 million in 2016. We have already reached 55 million pairs exported as a peak value. Now, we are at 45 million pairs, which is an average. This growth, therefore, needs to be taken into account considering the scenario. Advances of orders are common. Of course, the factories and the sales department manage that so that it is as efficient as possible in terms of logistics, ships, and things like that to optimize the logistics involved. But it's not so significant, the number of advances. What could happen in the beginning of the first quarter is that maybe this will be offset and the export levels could show a drop, or not even a drop, is that they will not maybe increase as much. But of course, you need to take into account a comparison basis. In 2016, the comparison basis was very low. And we said that back then. It was a difficult market. There were several barriers to exports back then. Several countries were facing significant economic recession crisis, especially in Latin America. We also had problems in some countries in Asia and in the Middle East. So this scenario made it more difficult for us to export. But now we foresee a better market in the world. And it had been quite some time that we have seen several countries growing as we are seeing now. Difficulties are now not as many. We are then resuming part of the export levels we once had. Thank you. Let me remind you that to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question is from Mauricio Ramani from Magna Capital. Good morning, Francisco, and congratulations on your results. My question refers to the first question that you read in the beginning. Did you feel that your franchisees and buyers in general had low levels of inventory in the fourth quarter and this has had an impact on the volume? And my second question regarding exports, what are your expectations for 2018? Do you expect it to be a better year than 2017? Well, yes to both questions. We are talking about Melissa sales. So the question I answered in the beginning had to do with the Melissa brand. And yes, it's not that it has affected volume levels. Sales could have been better because the demand was higher because of the success of the product, maybe because of the improvements in the economic scenario. So by combining all these effects, if they had more Melissa products, they would have sold more. We are very pleased and also encouraged by this scenario. In several stores, there were lines to buy products. The stores were packed, and at the end of the year, it was difficult even to get in a Melissa store in the shopping mall. You probably noticed that if you were in a shopping mall. As to exports, everything depends on the exchange rate and how the market is going to begin. If real is not as valued as expected for this year, moderately less valued, not an abrupt change or anything, economies will probably grow throughout the world, especially in the United States, Europe, and Asia. So our export perspectives are better in 2018. If we have a competitive price, given the currency exchange rate, then we should export more. Can you please clarify one point? The average price in the domestic market increase, is that related to the mix of products, the Melissa products? Yes, partially yes, because of the mix. And also the sales of Melissa products will take this price up. Any other factor involved? No, just mix. There are other brands that also had an upgrade in terms of mix. They started to sell more sophisticated products. Thank you. Our next question is from Wagner Saladelli from Quantitas. Mrs. Schmidt, just to go back to this point of exports. There was one point that was very relevant to you in the past, but because of the economic crisis, this was not so important. Do you expect to improve this in 2018? How was it in 2017? Let me put this into a historical perspective. In 2017, we closed our distribution service in Argentina. Many companies did that. We then started to work with local distributors, as we did in another country. Our business in Argentina in recent years account to maybe a fifth or even less that they once were. Since this is a low base, it is recovering. Last year, it has started to recover. And as the Argentinian economy has increased and improved, if it continues to improve, we expect to recover the volume levels we once had. Because, of course, it is very depreciated for us. Our level of activity in Argentina in the past 10 years has dropped significantly. Thank you. Let me remind you that to ask a question, please press star 1. Thank you. If there are no further questions, I would like to turn it over to the company's management, to Mr. Schmidt, for his final remarks. I would like to thank everyone for your participation and questions. Let me just reaffirm that we have started 2018 in an excellent market position with a sound financial positioning and with our ability to produce results intact. Even after all the economic crisis Brazil has been through, we are now ready to resume our growth and prepared, even if this scenario does not take place. Thank you, and I wish you a good week. Thank you. Grandin's conference call is now over. Thank you for participating, having a nice day, and thank you for using Chorus Call services.